Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Natalie.
Okay, I just have to say, I'm still not used to saying that because I'm used to saying like, oh, it's April and I'm the West. And I'm like, and then we're all just like, we're waiting for something else.
I was waiting for you to say the West because that's why I was like, hey, I'm Jason.
Oh, God. It's all good, friends, though. We are still East to West WLS at our heart, but we've just changed the name. We are Barry Nation now. We did that for a lot of different reasons, but really, we are a nation of United Bariatric Patients, and we are just here to connect, learn, and grow with one another and with the experts. But today, we thought we would take a very personal moment where just Jason, Natalie, and I talk about joy. Our support theme for December is Merry and Bright. So how we can keep this bright mindset during the holidays. We all know that it can be a really rough season. It can be kind of filled with grief. It can be filled with some pain, right? With just some loss, with some really hard things. And it's not easy to find moments of joy every single day. But I think collectively, the three of us believe that if we can at least keep it kind of on the periphery of our lives when things are difficult, we can move through that grief or we can move through these feelings and emotions towards kind of a brighter future. So we just wanted to take a minute and welcome you to our new month, to our new support theme, if you are listening or watching in December. But really, this podcast is about finding moments of joy. It is acknowledging that life has some really difficult moments, but also highlighting the importance of joy. And that can be a hard word when we are struggling, but the whole goal of our conversation today is really a couple of things. We want to define joy. What is it? We want to talk about why joy is important to you and what it kind of adds to our own lives. We want to talk about how we find these like little moments of joy throughout the day or how we look towards these bigger moments of joy in our life. And then what we do on these really hard days to keep joy kind of always in our periphery, in our vision. So that's kind of our mission for our conversation today. Or should we just do it? You guys ready to dive in?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, friends, let's do it. So first things first, you guys know, we always like to start off our podcast episode kind of on the same, speaking the same language. So I literally went to Merriam-Webster and I Googled joy. What define joy for me, Google. And Merriam-Webster says that it's a feeling of great happiness, or it's a source or cause of great happiness, something or someone that gives joy to someone. So what I really appreciate about that definition is it's not about you creating it always internally. It's about looking outside of yourself and relying on other people or other things to bring joy into your life. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, that's really good. We can all remember moments of great happiness. We can all remember moments of great sadness. But maybe just a really great place to start is, can you guys recall what's a moment in your life where you experienced just a lot of pure joy? And that's like a wild one because you didn't know I was going to ask that. So
no, I know for me, thinking back, it was before we lost my mom 7 years ago, would have been probably the last holiday season around with her between Thanksgiving and Christmas all the time, that the probably one of the last times that all of the family, the even extended family, was together. That was, you know, aunts, uncles, you know, grandparents had been gone. So literally we were the, you know, that was the kind of the core nucleus of the family all together in one spot, just kind of enjoying everybody's company and laughter and, you know, the things that you really look forward to during the holiday seasons. I would say that was probably it.
Well, it's kind of interesting, Jason. Your joyful moment is also coupled with an extreme loss, right? So as you were experiencing joy, you're also reflecting on kind of this loss that happened in your life. But I guess that really just proves how these two feelings or these two emotions can really be married. And that's okay. We can have joy when we also have a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was kind of a good way because those are the things that I draw on and remember to keep myself from getting down about the loss and the fact that my mom is no longer here, you know, thinking about the fact that, hey, you know, some of the best times were when she was around, but she also wouldn't want me to ruin the times that I have now, thinking about her not being here and dwelling on those things. She would want me to be the happiest that I could be, you know, I can miss her. That's okay. But at the same time, I still have to be happy for those that I'm around and, you know, my kids and my family and those things. You know, I can't ruin their memories because I'm having a hard time thinking about, you know, what I can't change. So that was kind of her, always one of her biggest things was, you know, don't dwell on things you can't change. So, you know, it's okay to miss her, but you can't let it ruin today.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, smart lady. And of course, always Jason, smart man, coming up with the one-liners. Freaking always. Nat, my friend, what about you?
You know, mine is in the same vein. And I think this will probably be a common theme as we have our discussion today. You know, mine is back, I was probably 10 or 11, 12 around there. And my grandma was she was the matriarch of our family. And her house was the hub for all of the holidays. And when you asked the question, April, my first thought was us decorating her house. And I was about her age. She had the big old-fashioned lights on her Christmas tree.
Oh, yes.
That she put the tinfoil liners around.
Yes.
And we'd play. She had all these classical Christmas music CDs that we just have on loop. And putting up all of she had always put mini candy canes on her tree. And I just remember being little and doing all of the candy canes and just preparing for the holiday season at my grandmother's house was always like such a special, joyous time for me because I got to be a part of, like, I got to help my grandma set up for the season, you know, because she was so influential in our family and she'd have her friends over. So I just remember feeling very like joyous and excited, but also feeling like I was important and I was helping her make her house look grand and Christmas filled and all of that stuff. So yeah, I would say that's what my mind instantly went to, was kind of this like, now the holidays have started and I'm helping my grandma prepare for this holiday season.
Isn't it interesting that oftentimes our moments of joy come in also our moments of like service, right? Or work, right? Even if we're doing something that isn't technically like work, we're still doing something maybe in service of someone else. And that brings us a lot of joy, right? To be valuable and to be seen and to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Huge part of joy. Yeah. You know, and when I was really thinking about that, family, of course, anything that I was doing with my family popped into my head. But I'm most available for joy, I think, when I'm alone and when things are kind of quiet. So even if things are crazy, ridiculous, busy, or things are just awful in the background, whatever's going on, if I can just step away and find a quiet moment to myself where I can get some calm, I can usually access some joy. So even if I'm stressed, if I'm anxious, if I'm sad, whatever it is, if I can just be alone and just focus on like, okay, I acknowledge X, Y, Z, but, you know, A, B, C, I have this going on. You know, I can remember waking up in the summer times, my grandparents still have a beautiful A-frame cabin right on Hood Canal. And my sister and I got to sleep in the loft. It's this teeny tiny space. And when the sun would come up, there was no blinds, it'd be bright, but I would hear my grandparents rustling, getting up, and my grandma would be in the kitchen making breakfast. My grandpa would be making a fire and they would start talking to us, knowing that, you know, we were probably up, but they would just have these very gentle, you know, morning conversations with us. But my sister and I would still be laying in bed. And I remember those moments of just being just joy, right? Like nothing in the world matters. Grandma and grandpa are downstairs and, you know, you just fill with a lot of gratitude for the things that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that all of our stories are kind of similar, but they're very unique in a lot of different ways, which I think speaks to joy, because joy is so unique for everybody. And I think how we experience joy and the feelings that joy invokes are different for every moment in time, right? So why is joy important to you? What does joy add to your life?
You know, I think for me, it adds this almost like a sense of purpose in a way that, like, if you can find these little moments of joy, you're kind of doing life right, if you know what I mean. If you can appreciate those small moments, you know, walking my dog and seeing all the Christmas lights, or walking with my mom, you know, after dinner, or, you know, if you can find those little hidden moments, to me, that shows me like you're doing the right things. Your headspace is where it needs to be. You know, and you're finding time for yourself for those moments of joy. I don't know. For me, it's a sense of like, you're on the right path. You're doing it right. Your mind is able to see the moments of joy. Because there have been times, right, in my life where I haven't seen those little joyous moments. And those are when I have to say, okay, something's got to change in my mind. Something's got to, you know, what do I need to do to recalibrate and make sure that I am seeing those little moments of joy. So for me, it's kind of like if I don't have joy in my life, I need to reevaluate what's going on.
Yep. I'm like you too. I can get really deep and dark very quickly, right? When things go off the rails, I can instantly go to this place of, oh my God, the world is ending and I'm an idiot. And I just start saying these horrible things to myself. That joy is really what kind of grounds me in the present. And that joy is what helps me really decipher, kind of like what you were saying, Jason, okay, what is in my control and what is not in my control. And if I can just find this moment of gratitude, or if I can find this moment of, okay, what is actually happening in this present moment? It allows me to stop living in the future where I'm catastrophizing. It helps me stop living in the past where I'm like making a bigger deal out of things that aren't actually there. And it just helps me come back to the present. And joy is one of those very, you know, odd things that allows me to live in the present. But I have really noticed that about myself as of late, for sure. Jason, what about you?
Yeah. For me, honestly, it's just making the most out of the time that I've got left, because I know that, you know, it's kind of one of those things we talked about, you know, loss and joy and things of that earlier. It really does it brings it into perspective that time, it's not, you know, it's finite, like it's going to end, like the ride will be over someday, you don't know when, but, you know, at this point, I just, you know, I had the surgery so that I could make the most out of the life I got left. And, you know, I really just got to a point where I realized that I wasted a lot of time with, you know, being in a hurry or anger issues or whatever it may be, just being worrying about stuff that, A, I can't control, worrying about stuff that isn't that big of a deal anyway. You know, it just, you get to a point where you start to get older and you slow down and you think, wow, like I've wasted a lot of time worrying about stuff that just doesn't matter. Like really matters is what's right in front of me right now. I've got my, you know, my kids, I've got my grandkids, I've got my family, I've got, you know, all these things that I need to be worried about that have kind of taken a back seat to stuff that I couldn't control or that I overly worried about. So finding joy is important for me because that allows me to not only take inventory of the things that truly matter, but I slow down a lot more and think, and I don't want those moments to end. So you take it in a lot more, slow it down and try to just really embrace and enjoy the time that you have and be in that moment. So, you know, being more present for those things is something that I look forward to nowadays, whereas I might have taken it for granted before.
Well, and you bring up a really great point, right? Like joy is a choice. Joy is a mindset that we have to practice, you know, accessing on the daily, even on the days that are really hard, that we're exhausted, that we are experiencing great loss and shame or guilt or, you know, any one of these big kind of bold feelings. Joy is kind of the opposite of all of those feelings. Joy can be a tool, a mindset tool that we can help move us through those feelings, right? It's not that we are not here to avoid or sidestep or do any of those things when it comes to the big, heavy feelings. But what we are here to do is learn how we can move through them, right? With grace and with poise, or just survive them, right? Like I need to get to the other side of this. I can't keep, you know, attempting to go around it. I need to just move through it. And joy can be kind of the vehicle that allows us to get there. But again, it's mindset, right? Like this month, December, we're focusing on mindset. How do we keep this joyful, this bright mindset throughout the holidays, which can be stressful, and really honing in on those moments is important, because The other thing that you said that really resonated with me is that whereas all of these bigger feelings can feel very heavy to me, joy feels light, right? Mm-hmm. Joy helps me release some of that heaviness, that weight, so that I can feel more like myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that I'm always going to be happy and joyful and always living up here, but if I'm way down here and I can use joy to help me bounce back up, it means that I'm going to come back to the stable zone quicker than not, I think.
Well, and much like our journeys that we're on after our surgeries, joy looks different for each person. My joy is not mm-hmm. going to look the same as your joy is, Natalie's joy is, anybody, you know, anybody else that's on the journey. So we're used to being, you know, the same but different. And it's going to look that way for other people. Like what brings me joy might not bring Natalie as much joy, might not bring April as much joy. But it's mm-hmm. still the fact that you've got to learn what that looks like for you and really try to hone in on that, because that's what's going to get you through those dark times, like April was talking about.
Yeah.
It can be a very powerful tool. Again, a mindset that we need to practice, which kind of leads us to our next question. So how do we find these little moments of joy throughout our day? What do we do specifically to go looking for it or to practice this joyful mindset?
I know for me, oh, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think for me, it's kind of what Jason was saying earlier about that, you know, I can only control what I can control. Today was a great example. I'm with my family and my mom and I were like, oh, let's go have a girl's day. Let's go get our nails done. There were no appointments. We did not plan ahead. And we're like, dang it, you know, like really frustrated and annoyed. And I just thought, you know what? It's a beautiful day. Let's like go for a drive. They are building their house about half an hour away from where we are right now. So I thought, you know what? It's a beautiful day. Let's go for a drive. Let's go out to your property. And just, even if it's just a there and back kind of a thing, it's a beautiful day. Let's just do that. And we did. And surprise, it was a wonderful day because, you know, we were still with each other, right? We were still all together. Our day looked a little bit different. But it was also a way for us to, you know, bond in a different way. My grandma also loved that drive. And for those who don't know, I lost my grandma in 2020. And so it was a nice way for us to, I think, also connect with my grandma and just kind of be like, oh, grandma loved this drive. And we had our coffee and it ended up being a really nice day. And so I think it is that mindset shift of like, okay, this didn't go to plan, and especially during the holidays, things are not going to go to plan. They're just mm-hmm. not, it's going to be stressful. But if you can say, okay, let's reevaluate, what can I do to like make my day still feel good and still feel bright? And I think those are the times when I have to kind of reset my mind and kind of back up a little bit, like you said, April, go low and slow, if you will, and say, okay, what can I do right now that will still give me that boost? And it will look different for everyone. It'll look different day to day. But, you know, today a drive with my family was just what I needed, apparently. And so I think for me, it's just kind of reevaluating and giving myself options. Even though I have a plan, still having those options in the back of my mind really helps me.
Well, and really you said the key thing there, right? It was a conscious decision. It was acknowledging that, oh, things didn't go quite right, or that my mood is off or something is off, but I am going to choose to find the good in this situation. I'm going to choose to find the silver lining. You guys know, I hate that word or that phrase, but it's so true, right? Like that's a moment of joy. Jason, what about you? How do you find these moments of joy?
I know for me, it's, you know, in times where I would normally go for negative self-talk and just kind of talk myself into a worse mood than I probably should have been in the first place, I've taken that shift and learned that I tell myself now to take a break, take a minute, I'll back up, I'll get up from the situation, walk off, kind of reset, take a few deep breaths, go outside, get some air, kind of look around, see things, you know, that sometimes I need that reminder that the world is bigger than me and whatever problem I have in front of me at the time, even though it doesn't feel that way sometimes, you know, it just kind of takes those reminders to, I mean, it may sound silly to some, but I mean, honestly, sometimes going out and just looking around and being like, you know what? That's not, I'm like, I'm not going to let that thing derail my whole day. Like Nat said, you know, there's lots of ways you could take it. You could take that whatever happened and just let it ruin your entire day, sometimes week. That's what we used to do pre-op. We would let that happen. We would, you know, have an eating episode or an eating week that turned into a, you know, just off the rails and, you know, progress be damned. But I, you know, I've learned a lot in this last, you know, almost 2 years of being post-op that, you know, that's those aren't the behaviors that I want to continue to perpetuate. So I take all of the things that I've learned in my journey since, you know, post-op and taking them in, you know, started attaching them to regular everyday circumstances and realizing that I can change my mindset, not only about my diet and my exercise and my everything else, I can change my regular everyday mindset. And I don't have to let things that used to blow my temper completely out of the water. I don't have to do all that anymore. Because I can take it, I can take time, take a deep breath, I can reset, I can refocus, and come back to the problem and, you know, attack it head on. Like, you know, like one of my favorite sayings is, "How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." So, I mean, literally, problems that seem insurmountable, you can look at them and just say, "Hey, okay, take a minute, let's deconstruct this, and control the things I can control. I will attack it one bite at a time, and we'll see how the dust settles."
Well, it's interesting you should say that because that's kind of what I do, right? Like before, when something would happen and I would get set off or I would find myself upset, I used to turn to food, right? And in my brain, some days it's still like, oh my God, nope, I'm going to go eat something. But that's the moment where I go, okay, I need to step away. I need to step away and I need to go look for something that is better than this current, you know, ridiculous situation. And that's my signal. And it's not that I'm not going to deny myself. Like sometimes I'm going to go eat something and that's okay. But my first step is, okay, I need to step away and I need to go look for something positive. I need to go find something. And I do the exact same thing. I literally have to leave my house or I have to look outside. I have to do something. And I just have to find something that is like, oh, that's cool. Or, oh my God, look at that bird. I mean, I live in like, you know, the woodland enchanted forest of the century here. So I don't have to look very far to find something, you know, amazing and breathtaking. But it's, again, it's triggering my brain to do that instead of get angrier and, right, and do that. And, you know, now the other thing that you taught me really about joy comes through gratitude. Right. I'm attempting to really get a good habit of starting a morning and an evening routine. And if I start my morning or if I end my night in gratitude or just reflecting on my day, thinking about what went well, you know, finding a moment to be like, what am I thankful for today? Or what was one nice thing that somebody did for me? If I can get into that practice, I'm more likely to have my brain go there than in another place. And we can all find one thing to be grateful for each and every day, either something that we did for ourselves, something that someone else did for us, something that we saw, something in nature, right? There's one thing that we can at least find and say, you know what, I'm thankful for this, or I'm grateful for this. And that, I think, gets us right to that place of joy.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said. I mean, I know the holidays can feel overwhelming. You know, we're all running around from place to place. You know, April, your whole month is booked, you know, oh my it can God. Get very hectic and it can get overwhelming and stressful in all aspects, you know, financially, personal life, work life, all of it. But if you also think of it, it's also the most beautiful time of year. People put out Christmas lights. You have Christmas decorations. There's Christmas music. There's, you know, so many little things that this season also gives us to stop and pause and be thankful or to think about the good things. You know, like I said earlier, I go on my walks and my neighborhood has started putting out all of their Christmas decorations. And sometimes I'll just sit and look at them. Yes. I'll just stand there, look at them, enjoy them. That's what they're there for. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think the older we get, I know for myself, you get really wrapped up in the hustle and bustle of the holidays. And I know there's so many movies about it too. But this season is literally made to make us happier. And we don't let ourselves do that sometimes. And so to just stop and look at Christmas lights, stop and, or put Christmas music on, you know, in the background while you're doing dishes, like those little things are literally made to make our season brighter. So yeah. I think if we like remember that this season is also there to make us joyous, like, you know, I don't know how to describe it other than that, but that's literally what the season is built for.
Well, and you know, if you are having a difficult time arriving to that joyous place in the most, you know, the merriest time of year, that can be a really great opportunity for you to have a quiet moment for yourself and go, why am I not feeling this joy? Or why am I feeling so stressed or sad or grief-ridden at this moment in time? Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for you to really kind of deconstruct what's going on and kind of get to the root of your feeling. And mm-hmm. that in itself can be a joyful moment when you figure something out, or when something finally clicks and you go, oh, that's it. Or maybe that's it. That is a moment for you to explore. That's a moment of permission to move forward. That can be joy. It doesn't always need to be this exuberant, like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I'm so this, I'm so that. Joy can literally be that single moment of, oh, I think that could be the reason behind these feelings. That's joy too, right? Joy always doesn't have to be this effervescent, bubbly experience. Joy can be a very singular, a very quiet, a very somber, and a very, you know, a moment of solitude. That is joy as well.
You reminded me of something my grandma said once, that joy is not, like you're saying, it's not always this big, exuberant feeling. Joy can feel like a sigh. Like just a, and you can feel joyous in that moment.
Absolutely.
And that just, you just reminded me of that, of like, okay, joy isn't this big, like Christmas carol, Christmas lights, blah, blah, blah. Those things can make you feel that, but it's not that, you know, it's just like this sigh, this like release.
Yeah. Well, it can be both.
Yeah.
It's allowed to be all of the things.
Right. But I think what you do, I don't know about you guys, but when I see like a beautiful scene, I kind of go,
It's contentment.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the things I can remember. And I think back to whenever when things get really wild, especially around the holidays, one of the things I think back to is I was like 6 or 7. I think sitting back in my living room with all the lights off, just looking at the tree and the lights on the tree, that to me, like, I can remember that, like I'm sitting there right now. And yeah. I just, that's always something that no matter what's going on, if I need that quick trigger, I can get it off of that. I think back to that because I would do it before I went to bed at night, and I would do it first thing in the morning. I would say I got up earlier than anybody in the house. And I would just sit there in this little glider rocker that we had. And I would just sit there and stare at the tree until everybody woke up.
I did that too, Jason. My grandma's house, especially on Christmas break. And we'd always leave our Christmas tree up extra weeks after Christmas. And yeah, I would just get up and exactly. I would just sit there and just smile at the tree. And I think, okay, that is joy. That is joy when you just feel peaceful contentment.
And contentment is such a hard word to really kind of define for ourselves, because it's the state of not wanting in the moment anything more, right? It's the state of just being okay with what's around us. Contentment doesn't mean that we're not pursuing something greater or different in the future. It's just talking about that here and now moment. And that's so hard for us to live in because we're not used to it, right? I think, you know, it's a human condition, but I especially think with bariatric patients, we are always either living in the future or the past, right? We're lamenting over choices that we made, or we're freaking out over, you know, what's coming up our way, or but to get okay with just being in the moment is very Yeah, right here. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Well, because everything about life as an adult you hear now is, or even when you're a young adult, it's the grind, it's the hustle, it's the bust. You got to go out there and get it. You got to take life by the horns. You got to go out there and stretch. Nobody ever says, oh, but make sure you take time for yourself and to sit back and enjoy what you got. It's never that. It's always got to get more. It's got to be better, bigger, faster, stronger. And you got to go out there and get it, or otherwise you're lazy and you can't just sit back on your laurels. And you know, you hear all of those things, and we're so geared towards always moving and doing stuff. Yeah. Nobody says it's cool to take time and celebrate what you already got, or, you know, be thankful for what you got. It's always what more could you be doing right now if you weren't just sitting here thinking about what you got?
That's very true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. So for our friends that are listening or watching, and they are really struggling this season with grief or sadness or loss, or they're just in a really, they're in a really heavy place. What nuggets of advice, or what can we pass on to them to maybe help them get to a place where they can find some joy as they're moving through this really difficult time of their life?
I would honestly say, think back to one of the happiest times that you can remember in your mind, and hold on to that feeling and try your best to let other people in your life experience that same feeling, whether or not you explain it to them, tell them how it is, try to recreate it for not only for yourself, but for those people as well, so that they can also see that. Because you have to remember, who you are now is who you're missing, or who you loved in your life. You're that to somebody else. So you can't sit back and, you know, just, you know, take all of that onto yourself and the grief and the, you know, and the missing people and whoever that may be. You know, I have to remember, I am the grandfather that I miss in, you know, my holidays. I am that to my grandbabies, and I am a father to my kids. So I've got to be there for my kids the same way I miss my mom being there for me. So that, to me, there's a lot of recreating things that made me happy that are going to go on this year. So.
Well, and I just love that idea about how, like, you know, you're just remembering it and you're kind of speaking it to the universe. You don't have to do anything with it. The action of helping you move through this difficult time is just simply saying, I remember, right? Because it gets us again out of the present and or it gets us out of the past and the future. It puts us in the present, and it's enough to just remember. It's not going to take anything away from the present drama that you're experiencing, but it gives you a little bit of a break between that grief and that loss and that sorrow. Oh, really interesting. I like it. Nat, what about you? What would you pass along?
Yeah, I think for me, I am a kinetic learner anyway, so I like to do things. And I know for myself, I have three women in my life that I am missing, and I miss them pretty much every year, some longer than others. But I find myself doing little things that they would do around the holidays. So whether that's, you know, making a certain dish or going for a drive or, you know, just doing little things that make me feel more connected to them. Because when you do those things, you go, oh, like what Jason's saying, I remember when, you know, this hilarious time when I was making these cookies and they look so bad, and, you know, and you can kind of get that relief that way. Just simply by doing those things in remembrance, whether it's baking cookies, taking a drive, even just making a coffee, maybe the way that your loved one liked to make their coffee, just those little like reminders, really help me. And also in the same vein of Jason is, you know, how can I give the same energy and the same love that those people did? I, you know, how can I make other people feel how those loved ones made me feel during the holidays? And, you know, for me, it's as simple as buying someone's coffee, you know, say, telling someone I like their hair, you know, just even if it's not a loved one that I'm telling these things to, it's just a stranger, you know, being that source of joy for other people, like that definition said, really helps me, because I know my grandma would do the same thing. My grandma would buy someone's coffee. My grandma would, you know, invite someone over for a coffee and a talk, just a chat. So just how can I make other people feel that same joy that my loved ones had me feel?
That so reminds me of a quote we shared the other day when we were talking about Shout Out Sunday. And I'm going to paraphrase, but it's a Booker T. Washington quote. And he basically said, if you're looking, if you want to lift yourself up, lift up others first, right? Because that act of, even if you're not feeling joyful, or even if you're not feeling how you want to feel, if you help somebody else feel that way, or if you help somebody else up, you're also helping yourself up at the same time, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I actually have a funny anecdote. It's very quick. I talked about it on my stories about a month ago, but I was having kind of a rough time. My seasonal depression was hitting me pretty bad. And I went to Starbucks and I decided to just pay for the woman behind me. It was like $6, you know?
I love that.
And, you know, every once in a while, I'm like, I have a couple extra bucks on my Starbucks card. You know, I'm just going to buy their order or whatever. And the barista goes, oh my gosh, that's so nice. Do you know her? And I said, no, I don't know her. Oh, was she nice to you? No, I just feel like buying her drink. Like, I don't like it was very odd to me, because I'm like, you work at Starbucks. I feel like this is a normal thing maybe, but like.
Yeah, I thought it happened like at all Starbucks.
Yeah, she was very like, why are you doing this? And in my head, I'm just going, look, I'm just trying to be like a source of joy for someone. I'm just trying to make someone's day brighter. And she ended up being really nice about it. But, you know, doing those little things, even when you feel so low and you feel like, oh, I just am dragging my feet, I'm buying myself a coffee to make myself feel better. I'm sure the other person is doing a very similar thing. Why not pay for theirs, you know? And so, yeah, just doing those little things and being that source of joy for people really helps me.
There is no better feeling. I love when that happens at my Starbucks. When I pull up to window and they go, oh, the person in front of you paid for your order. It's like, that is so kind. And I'm just going to keep passing it on. But like you said, it's a simple acts of service for other people can really help us reconnect with our own joy and help us move through those difficult times. My recommendation would just be demand 5 minutes in your day to reflect on gratitude, to just take a quiet moment to yourself. And we can all find 5 minutes. Some days my 5 minutes is literally in the bathroom. That's all I got, right? I got a couple minutes to myself because my day is insane, but I'm going to take this few moments and I'm just going to reflect. So just carve it out. You can do it, make that time, and it will pay in dividends. I don't know, you guys, this conversation has left me feeling pretty joyful.
Yes, definitely.
Same.
I love learning about how we all are moving through this journey, because while it's very similar, it's very unique. And I learn little nuggets every single time we have the ability to have these very meaningful conversations around things that maybe we wouldn't think about actually make a big difference on our bariatric lives. Isn't it crazy? Yeah. It's crazy how things are connected when we just don't think they are. Well, thank you, friends, very much for joining in on this conversation. I had a wonderful time.
Yes, ma'am.
Me too. Same, ma'am. Oh, it's great.
All right, you guys. Well, let's wrap it up. Nat, I know that there's something that you would love to share with people.
Yes. So we are still doing the Shout Out Sunday. This is something that support that we will never get rid of, because it is literally my favorite day of the week, because I have the pleasure of talking about our wonderful Instagram followers. Shout Out Sunday is a time for us to highlight our wonderful nation of followers on Instagram. You do not have to be a paid member. All you have to do is go to the link in our bio. There's a spot for a Shout Out Sunday submission form, and that is it. Upload a picture that you're proud of. It could be a transformation. It could not be a transformation, whatever you want. And then I get to talk about you and brag about you on the stories, and we post to our Instagram page. It's just a really great time for us to express our gratitude for your support, and to also just brag about how amazing you guys are. So again, you can just go to the link in our bio and fill out that Google form, and I'll get in touch with you about when everything goes live, and that's it. Very simple.
It's so awesome. And I love learning some things about people that we just wouldn't normally get to know. They pass along tips and tricks and, I mean, their favorite snacks and, you know, their biggest aha moment. It's just awesome. So if you have not been featured on our shout out Sunday, please head to the link in a bio and fill it out, because we absolutely love sharing your story within our greater community. You know, and if you are looking for a different level of support along your bariatric journey, we have launched the Bari Nation membership community. It is an amazing, safe place to connect, learn, and grow with other members of the community and experts. And we are so close, you guys, to having daily opportunities for our members to connect live with experts and with peer-to-peer supports. It's insane. We have registered dietitians, we have therapists, we have chefs, we have bariatric coaches. We have a ton of like your favorite people from the community there that are offering peer-to-peer support. I mean, there's everything from live classes to like legit support sessions that are led by therapists to like peer-to-peer support. So like Maddie and I have started hosting lunch breaks. We literally hop on a Zoom for our lunch and we eat together. And we just hang out. And then when our 30 minutes are done, we go back to work. So the support is just, it is really a rainbow of support. And we have really worked hard to create an inclusive community. So no matter your age, your gender, the surgery that you've had, the stage where you're at, Bari Nation is a place, is a safe place for you to connect, learn, and grow with other members of our community. So if you're interested in checking it out, we do offer a 14-day free trial where you can give it a whirl without spending a dime. Just head to our website, www.barination.com, to see what it is all about. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to thank everybody for all the support that you've given us up to this point. We would not be able to do what we do without you guys supporting, and you guys supporting us helps us support, you know, it just keeps going round and round. It's very cyclical like that. It just helps us support ourselves. We support each other, which helps us support you guys back. So don't forget that you can still like, share, subscribe, continue to do those things for not only the Instagram page, but Bari Nation as well. Also the podcast and on your favorite podcast player and on YouTube as well. We still need all the ratings, all of the support that you guys can give for us there. We appreciate those things. You can leave us voice messages on Anchor where we can implement those into future podcast episodes, which we love doing that because anytime we get to hear from you guys, it's always amazing. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, friends. See you soon.
Bye-bye.